Thank you, Blessing Zulu and Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 24th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening,
ZANU-PF's supreme decision-making body, the Politburo, is currently meeting in Harare, with reports saying the economy is suffering as cabinet ministers expected to lead the country's recovery are not on talking terms as factionalism deepens.
There is disharmony within the government, within the ruling party. And we have already known in the past where a minister may take a position. This deputy, because they belong to a different faction, they take the opposite position.
Marcelina Chikasha, the leader of a new political party, the African Democratic Party, made up of entirely new players in the country's politics, offers herself as an alternative to the feuding ZANU-PF and MDC parties.
As a political party, we come in with a whole different ideology altogether, premised on unity, love, and peace for development.
And the sit-in organized by journalist Itai Dzamara to force President Robert Mugabe to quit office enters its fifth day today.
The Politburo, ZANU-PF's supreme decision-making body, is currently meeting in Harare amid reports that the economy is tanking as some cabinet ministers meant to work together in leading the country's recovery efforts are not even on talking terms as factional fights worsen. Apparently, President Robert Mugabe is chairing the meeting in darkness following a power blackout affecting the central business district in Harare. Politburo insiders say the battle in the meeting is on proposals by a faction led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa to have President Robert Mugabe amend the party's constitution to give himself powers to appoint his two deputies. The move is aimed at blocking the ascendancy of Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who has an upper hand in the provinces that can nominate her ahead of Mr. Mnangagwa. The crucial meeting is also expected to discuss calls by the First Lady, Grace Mugabe, for Mrs. Mujuru to step down when she alleged that she's corrupt and leading a faction in the party. ZANU-PF insiders told Studio 7 that formulating government policy has become almost impossible as cabinet ministers are snubbing key committee meetings owing to factionalism. The insiders also accused the ministers of focusing on campaigning for posts in the party central committee, Politburo, and the key elective congress in December.
Attempts to get a comment from Cabinet Secretary Meshack Sibanda were, however, futile as he was not picking up his phone. But latest economic outlook reports paint a gloomy picture. The country's trade deficit for the first 9 months of the year was this week reported to be at US $2.84 billion, arising from imports of US $4.65 billion against US $1.81 billion in exports, according to the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency's latest figures. Government sustained a budget deficit of US $19.5 million due to a 6.3% tax revenue shrinkage as of August 31. Captains of industry say the country's capacity utilization has plummeted from 57.2% in 2011 to 36.3%. The IMF has also called on Harare to reform to meet its targets of the staff monitored program signed with Harare to turn around the economy. Economist and director of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, Dr. Godfrey Kanyenze, says lack of cohesion in government is affecting the economy.
There is disharmony within the government, within the ruling party. And we have already known in the past where a minister may take a position. This deputy, because they belong to a different faction, they take the opposite position. And this has rendered government business at a standstill where basically nothing is moving. And the First Lady has already intimated that since the election victory, there has been no focus on the promises that ZANU-PF gave to the people. In essence, people have abandoned the real issues that concern the ordinary people and are fighting for the post-Mugabe hegemony.
The IMF has proposed a raft of reforms, such as debt clearance, civil service reform, bringing clarity to the indigenization law. With the internal fights in the ruling ZANU-PF party, are these proposals not dead on arrival?
That's part of the challenge. And we all know that without unity of purpose, you can not achieve practically anything. If you look at the developmental states, East Asia, for instance, social cohesion was a critical attribute that basically brought governments and the constituencies together to pursue common national objectives. Now, in Zimbabwe, when people are fighting at this level, with this level of acrimony, you can't expect any cooperation amongst such antagonists.
That was economist and director of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, Dr. Godfrey Kanyenze, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Zimbabwe is a major political parties, the ruling ZANU-PF and the MDC, or the Movement for Democratic Change, are currently in turmoil as they go towards the crucial elective congresses. The civic society is also reeling under its own problems, creating a major vacuum with no one providing the necessary checks and balances required to keep the government in check. Enter Marcelina Chikasha, the leader of a new political party, the African Democratic Party, or ADP, made up entirely of new players in the country's politics. A 42-year-old Chikasha is the interim president of the party, and she's also an accountant by profession and a mother of two. She says that she's also a pastor with a political calling. She tells Marvelous Mhlanganya Wiye that ADP was started in April 2014 by a group of God-fearing individuals whose hearts are broken at the state of the country.
I think it's very sad when there's divisions, you know, that come about in a nation because it doesn't work in the interests of nation building. So I think as far as the Zimbabwean economy is concerned, it's a very negative development indeed. And I would not personally like to celebrate it because I think it just has a harmful impact on society as a whole. You know, people are really low and confused at the moment. As a political party, however, I would like to say that we come in with a whole different ideology altogether, and ours is premised on unity, love, and peace for development. So obviously, the more we see another party disintegrating, the more people are looking for an option or an alternative. And if we're giving them a message of hope and a message which is the opposite of what's happening and what is disturbing society, I think it is drawing members to us, although, of course, it's not anything that we had planned to happen, you know, because obviously we don't run things in ZANU-PF. But it has had a positive impact on the ADP because people are looking for leadership and they're looking for peace. You know, they're just looking for answers.
And also some would say that there seems to be a political leadership vacuum at the moment. Are you taking advantage of that situation right now?
Yes, we are, definitely, because, you know, it's not as if it's misguided opinion that there's a vacuum. It's actually coming more and more evident that the two major parties that have been there traditionally are not providing answers to the situation that people are finding themselves in. So people are now starting to look around for a messiah, if I can use that word, or for another option to say, okay, who in Zimbabwe has an answer at the moment? And that's where we're coming in. You know, inadvertently, it has worked in our favor because we've just came in at the right time when all this was happening, and people are now seeing us as a solution, seeing us as an answer.
That was African Democratic Party Interim President Marcelina Chikasha speaking with Marvelous Mhlanganya Wiye from Harare. Please tune in tomorrow for more from Marcelina Chikasha as we give you more from her interview with Marvelous.
My name is Marcelina Chikasha, interim leader of the African Democratic Party, the latest political party to enter the fray in Zimbabwe. We'll be right back. Please join me and Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye tomorrow on the Women's Forum so that you can hear more about this party and what's happening in Zimbabwe. God bless you.
The sit-in that has been organized to put pressure on President Robert Mugabe to step down entered its fifth day today at the Africa Unity Square, with a slight increase in the number of protesters compared to the past few days. The protest, led by the editor of a newspaper called The News Leader, Itai Dzamara, follows a petition that he delivered to the office of the head of state last week. Today, unlike the last 4 days, the number of police is reported to have been significantly reduced, allowing a few dozen more people to join in the sit-in. The petition encourages the president, who was elected last year in a disputed election, to resign immediately and pave way for a process of engagement involving all national stakeholders ahead of fresh elections. We reached Dzamara, who says the sit-in is gaining tract and they hope that on Monday it will be even bigger.
Today, we only had about 7 police officers who were protecting us, because they were just part of us, and they never attempted to chase people out of the square as they've been doing over the past few days.
So all in all, how many people would you say participated?
Eventually, at the peak, we counted and estimated around 500 people in the park. That was around the last time. There are many people who are coming during their lunch break, who are working within the city center, who are coming to join and show solidarity with us. But during the larger part of the day, we're looking at 350 people scattered all over the park and just relaxing.
So is this sit-in going to continue tomorrow?
We are breaking for the weekend, but we are resuming on Monday.
We noticed that the MDCT had also said it was going to have a protest with a similar demand. What is it that's going on between you and the MDC?
We have had a couple of individuals, including top leaders. For example, we had Senator Jose Kutu, we had Mr. Job Sikala, and other youth leaders such as James Kidakwa, who personally came and joined us.
That was Itai Dzamara, the editor of the News Leader publication. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
The Apex Council says it has completed its consultations for the 2015 budget and is now waiting to meet with partners in the National Joint Negotiating Council for further discussions. Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani says one of the most important issues raised by the members was the government's failure to honor some of the agreements they reached and signed with the unions. The government failed to raise civil servant salaries as agreed, saying it was broke. Gundani tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they are ready to engage the government at different levels and make their submissions.
As the Apex Council, we are ready. We have been consulting our membership. Unions in the Apex Council have been up and about consulting their members, and they are ready with the feedback from our members. I'm reliably informed, according to plan, that most of the unions in the education sector were going to consult during World Teachers Day activities, and this has taken place. Also reliably informed that those that are not in the education sector, particularly under the Public Service Association and other unions that are not in the education sector, they've been holding meetings and consulting their grassroots, and we are ready.
What have you gathered that is coming from your members? What are they demanding?
There are quite a few things, but the most critical are the outstanding issues that we already have with government. And the outstanding issues are the issues that are part of the agreement that we signed at the beginning of the year, end of January this year. And everybody will remember that there was an agreement that the commitment made by government, made also by us, agreed to by us, was that we should be informed by the poverty datum line. So we should continue chasing after the poverty datum line in terms of salaries, so that the least paid civil servants get basic salary and allowances that are informed by the poverty datum line.
That was Apex Council Chairman Richard Gundani on the line from Gweru with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Let's take a look at regional and international news.
Just next door, Chris, provisional results from Mozambique's elections show the ruling Frelimo party winning both the presidential and parliamentary polls. The results announced today show Frelimo presidential candidate Filipe Nyusi winning 57% of the vote. The main opposition Renamo's party, Afonso Tlakama, won 36%, while the Mozambique Democratic Movement's David Simango was far behind in third place.
A Chadian official says he expects Nigeria's deal with militant group Boko Haram to free more than 200 kidnapped schools will go through despite the apparent breakdown of a ceasefire. Internet connectivity and social media platforms have made it increasingly easy for Zimbabweans to exercise their freedom of expression. That, according to U.S. Chancellor for Public Affairs in Harare, Karen Kelly, who says that citizens must also use internet to push the development agenda. Karen was delivering a lecture on freedom of expression and media technologies at the National University of Science and Technology, NUST, in Bulawayo today. The lecture was organized by the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe. Reporter Ntunga Milinkomo reached the Voluntary Media Council Programs Officer Faith Ndlovu for more.
One key issue coming out of Kelly's presentation was the acknowledgement that within the Zimbabwean context, new and social media platforms are offering alternative platforms for people to freely express themselves, but that even within the Zimbabwe and other areas as well, especially now looking at the developed world, there are now other challenges that are coming up, such as cyberbullying, which are coming with the digital era. But of course, there was also an acknowledgement as well that these platforms, as much as they are offering us alternative platforms for us to express ourselves, they are not only relevant for political discourse, but even for mobilizing for developmental issues, such as the economic and social issues that affect people every day.
And how did the students respond to the lecture?
The students were very much interested in the lecture, and they posed various questions to Kelly in terms of her perspectives with regards to the growth of internet and social media, not just in Zimbabwe, but even within the USA itself, and some of the practices by the US government, such as surveillance and how it's impacting on freedom of expression, because there was a view from some of the students that as much as we're saying that the US government is advocating for open internet as a way of promoting freedom of expression, the US government's own actions of surveillance are negatively impacting on that same freedom of expression that they are championing.
That was Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe Programs Officer Faith Ndlovu on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo in Bulawayo.
Indigenization and Youth Minister Francis Nema says the $10 million revolving youth development fund set up some 3 years ago is riddled with corruption. 92% of beneficiaries have not repaid their loans, he said. Nema says only $5 million is still available for disbursement, with the government now engaging banks as it tries to help youths to draft tangible project proposals. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Youth Agenda Trust Program Officer Lawrence Mashungu, who says youth at the grassroots level continue to be frustrated as they are not benefiting from the fund.
Our question definitely would be to say, what has changed so far? Because as long as we still have the same individuals who have been employed, if on a partisan basis, I don't see anything changing. Because all the people, as far as I know, who are starting the office, especially on development, Development Department.
Looking at this issue, when you say that you did, of course, on your own, see what was going on at district level or even provincial level in regards to those who were being given the money, were you able to take that up with the relevant authorities?
Yeah, we were able to do that. It's something that the people at the local level, they have said that they are not seeing how these loans are being distributed. They have said these complaints as young people. We have also said the same thing. We've also written a lot of petitions. We've engaged the ministers. We've also engaged the director of the council. But you get the same answers that we are going to try to resolve this thing. It's the same answer that we are tired of hearing.
That was Youth Agenda Trust Program Officer Lawrence Mashungo speaking with Tatenda Gumbo.
Some youths in the high-density suburb of Towood in the Midlands Province mining town of Redcliffe are giving literal meaning to singing the blues, producing songs that talk about the problems faced by thousands of people in the area whose livelihoods have for years been dependent on the former steel-making giant Zisco Steel, now the new Zimbabwe Steel Limited. Correspondent Taurai Shaba has more.
Manix Brothers Records. Manix Brothers Records.
Pasare kunyora nemazvima ripota zvikanzi tirirere Cisco rakuzoita chopya kotape haichaita Cisco ma India.
Despite its popularity with the young, some people feel that Zimbabwe's urban blues music is not appealing, as they say it lacks depth and meaning that some other types of music have. But a music duo known as the Firehouse Family, made up of 21-year-old John Charlie and 18-year-old Kudakwashe Mayenzanise, both of Towood, has found fame in its own backyard as they sing about the problems in their locality. One of the duo's songs, entitled Zisco Ma India, has struck particular resonance with both the young and old. The song talks about the people's frustration over delays in the resuscitation of New Zim Steel, formerly Zisco, where most of Toad's residents work. John was born in Towood and went to school there up to O level. He says although the duo, like other young musicians, also sings happy songs, they consider the Zisco Ma India song to be their most important so far. John says what inspired him and his friend to come up with the song is the glaring poverty that Towood residents are living in as a result of New Zim Steel's failure to get back in production.
This song is all about the situation here in Towood.
What inspired us to write this song is the situation here in Towood. As you know, most people here, including our fathers, were employed by Zisco. It used to be a big company, and some of us had hopes that we could also get employed there after finishing our education. But now, nothing is going on there. It's been a long time since things have been at a standstill. We sing other songs that have to do with love and happiness. But this song was an attempt at revealing the hardships that people here are facing.
John says the collapse of New Zim Steel also affects young people like him, as most parents are not only finding it difficult to send their children to school, but are also failing to take care of the children's daily needs. 18-year-old Tatenda Ndaba, a friend of John's, agrees and adds that most locals cannot even afford to go to hospital when they fall sick.
Situation is not affected by the because no takapeza chikoro.
The situation does indeed affect a young person like me in that, in my case for instance, I passed my O levels, but because my parents could not get any money for me to proceed to A level, I'm now just loafing around. Another thing is that even when one falls ill, most people can no longer afford to go to hospital because they just don't have the money. Such a situation compromises one's health.
Vincent Masiwa is a New Zim Steel employee and is also one of the councillors representing Towood in the Redcliffe Town Council. Masiwa, who was once a worker representative, says the firehouse family's songs fully depict the extreme hardships that the workers and locals are experiencing. He says the most frustrating thing is that neither government nor the company management is providing any information to the workers about what the future holds for them.
What these youngsters are singing about is the reality. New Zim steel workers and other locals here are facing serious hardships. Most of them are entirely dependent on their employment with Zisco, and they have no other opportunities to look to. The company is paying allowances of $50 after about 4 months, so things are really tough. Workers do not have full information about the deal between the government and ESA, but what we know is that nothing is happening on the ground. Now we are also hearing about some Chinese investors who are rumored to be coming. No one knows what's really going on, and there is no information from government or from ESA.
In 2011, government sold its 54% stake to India-based ESA Africa Holdings in a deal which saw Zisco being renamed New Zim Steel. Under the agreement, ESA was supposed to refurbish the plant and then start production. But more than 3 years down the line, nothing is going on at New Zim Steel, as government is still to complete part of the agreement. Elizabeth Tembo is a Tauld resident who earns a living through buying and selling and says she is struggling as potential buyers have no disposable income. Another resident who only identified herself as Mrs. Moyo told Studio 7 that as part of the firehouse family's song reveals, some locals were trying to make ends meet by selling coal that they salvaged from the New Zim Steel dumps, but this has stopped as soldiers are now guarding the dumps.
People are clueless as to what to do about the current hardships they are facing. There are some people who used to survive by selling coal from the New Zim Steel mine dumps, but since soldiers were deployed there, this has stopped because the soldiers would harass or beat up people, stopping them from collecting the coal. People are now hopeless. It's a really hopeless situation.
The Firehouse family has so far released 4 songs, including one called De Nana De, which is a shown encouragement to a child who's learning how to walk. The song advises that perseverance is the ingredient for success in life. Producer Chris Donald Triple B's Shato, also of Towood, laments that him and his musicians are not as successful as they could be because of the poverty in Towood. John agrees, adding that even though they have plans to produce more songs, lack of money is a major handicap.
Manix Brothers
Told residents, including the firehouse family musicians, hope that government will be able to play its part and get New Zim Steel to work again as soon as possible so that their lives can get back to normal. Until that happens, the locals will continue to find solace in part by listening to the songs of the firehouse family, which give voice to their concerns. Act 1, Song Up, Fade Under. Reporting for Studio 7 from Tauld in Redcliffe, this is Taurai Shama.
Chris, what a way to get into the weekend. Thank you very much, Taurai Shama, there. Now we recap today's top stories.
ZANU-PF Supreme Decision-Making Body, the Politburo, is currently meeting in Harare with reports saying the economy is suffering as cabinet ministers expected to lead the country's recovery are not on talking terms as factionalism deepens.
Marcelina Chikasha, the leader of a new political party, the African Democratic Party, offers herself as an alternative to the feuding ZANU-PF and MDC parties.
And the sit-in organized by journalist Itai Dzamara to force President Robert Mugabe to quit office enters its fifth day today.
Just as a reminder, listeners, to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with you and the experts about the Youth Fund. That's our broadcast this evening. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington, D.C., leaving you in the capable hands of Ntungamili Nkomo and Sitandekile Mhlanga.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.